Those women will cut a beat.
You can buy me a beer.
He's going to be, look, Bo's going to have, first of all, he's going to have to guard his wife that is with child. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be on guard. But he also has a DD.
Got to keep little Damien safe, right?
Is Damien a girl's name?
It can be if you want it to be this day and age. You know what I mean?
I'm going to get in so much trouble. But
yeah, be careful.
But you know how, you know, the old Antichrist thing, and you're like,
well, that's why I said Damien.
I know. I thought about it this morning. I was like, I got to raise my kid not to be the Antichrist. Hey, these are the thoughts I have driving in on the express lane.
My daughter's about to graduate. I kept her off the pole, man. That's victory.
That is.
Keep her off the pole, right,
massive,
Day?
Massive, massive
Day. Right.
Honestly, I thought you were making fun of Bo's weird kind of allegiance to Day-Day when you said her name was going to be Damien. I was like, yeah, I can see Bo doing that. Yeah, yeah.
Is this where you want to be?
Well, I'm just saying.
703.
Kind of a weird thing going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going to buy her glasses as soon as she comes out of the womb.
Are the Falcons going to try to bring in a pass rusher?
I don't see it, man.
Who?
I don't know. Charles Harris. I don't know. It's not
we
be
had
Max
Charles
Crosby.
Harris already. He wasn't
guy,
that great.
Darius Smith. Well, he's
the guy from New England's the guy that keeps getting
Aziz
brought up.
Aziz Ojulari.
He's playing for the Giants. He's doing pretty well, isn't he? Wait, the other Ojulari guy.
And he's the he's from here. No, the I can't remember the guy's name from the Patriots. He keeps getting brought up and all that.
And we got him already, Matthew Judon.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They're like, they've already made this connection one time. Might as well go back to the well and see if they can pull it out of there. No, but Rob, we talked about this yesterday. I'm glad you brought this up because Raheem referenced, and he was like, yeah, if you look at Arnold Ebocati's PFF grade, which I thought was a little bit out of pocket for Raheem to bring up a PFF grade, but he's like, it's pretty good. And I'm like, that's an interesting comment, but we went back and did the comparisons, Rob, and he was kind of spot on. So I don't know. I know that you look at the sack numbers and you say, well, we could use some help, but who are you going to replace? You're not going to replace Judon. And Arnold Ebocati, evidently, in Raheem's eyes, is doing pretty well in those situations.
And I heard Carl and Mike talking about yesterday, and they're throwing out names like Max Crosby not coming here.
That's a pipe dream.
And Myles Garrett not coming here. Also, the thing I would tell you, somebody hit me about Myles Garrett, and I said, be careful. Because I'm not sure I want to throw like two first-round picks at Cleveland for Myles Garrett, yeah, who comes here with a big price tag. And guess what? A foot issue,
yeah,
that he might not play. I know this is over the top, but he could play. He could finish a year and then never play again for you. Now, if it gets you a Super Bowl, that's great. But the fact that he has a foot issue is bad. I mean, you don't want to do that.
Not the Tootsies, man. Don't get my Tootsies rolling like that. It's for somebody actually.
How many big men in the NBA have been just destroyed by bad?
There was somebody, maybe it was a Seattle guy. Somebody went out this week with Liz Frank, one of the offensive linemen in the NFL, and I was like, man. And they were like, well, be back for OTAs. And I was like, dude, just take it from me. That is not a slam dunk that he's
going
back for OTAs.
That woman has destroyed so many careers, that Liz Frank.
Old Liz, man, she's a beast.
He's toxic, man.
It's actually the name of a French general. I don't know if I ever told you that story before.
I didn't know that.
Somebody had to explain that to me one time, and I was like, oh, it's good to know because it happened to me twice.
I thought he would have surrendered, so it wouldn't be an issue.
Happened to me twice, old Liz Frank.
Hey, Let's hear from Kirk Cousins, shall we? This interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. Easy, 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Let's hear from Kirko.
Let's get it right here. Let's get in the end zone. Let's go!
This is the Falcons Quarterback Report. The Falcons Quarterback Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Time to catch up with Kirk Cousins here on Countdown to Kickoff. And, Kirk, congratulations on the recent string for your team. I want to dive into a little bit. You're such a mental guy. Obviously, the physical part of you got. The mental part of it, too, I think you exceed what most people are at this position. What are some of the things you're thinking about during the week as you try to get ready to go?
Yeah, I think you try to get a feel for the defense you're playing as to how they present pre-snap, what they then look like post-snap, what difficult looks are there, what are the plays that could get you in trouble, what's going to be your answer when you're getting in trouble, and then so much of studying is you study your opponent, but then you also got to really own your stuff to know that what am I doing versus every single possible look that we could get on each and every play. A lot of the preparation also is with teammates, is talking through, hey, I know what I need to do, but I need 10 other guys to know what they need to do. And so a lot of it is communicating so that we all know what each other is going to do, and that enables us to play fast.
What do you continue to work on from a physical standpoint when you're in practice as far as your drops and your feet and all that kind of stuff?
I think it's a footwork thing. I think just this week it was trying to make sure that my drops are keeping me in the center of the pocket. I'm not drifting into Jake Matthews or drifting into Caleb McGarry. And I noticed on film sometimes that's happening. And so just trying to retrain my muscle memory, even in year 13, to make sure I'm staying in the center of the pocket and that I'm open to my left when the read calls for me to throw a ball to the left flat. And that I'm, you know, closing off to the right when the read calls for me to throw a ball to the right. So certainly you have to use your arm sometimes and throw from a unique position. But for the most part, you want to make life easy for yourself and be in alignment on as many throws as possible.
I know sometimes confidence can be fleeting for especially for younger players. How much does the confidence, is it bred by the way you guys ran the football last week and then that last Thursday, the way you threw it?
Yeah, it's a week-to-week league, Arch, and you know that. You never know what each week is going to bring. And I think you see it watching other teams where you have a team that lights it up and then the next week they're really struggling to find any offense. And so you learn that, you know, nothing's guaranteed, and just because something happened last week doesn't mean that that happens again. And I think that's where the sense of urgency and the preparation is there every week, because you want to make sure that you're stacking up strong performances, but they all are their own entity, and you truly have to stack another one up. You can't just roll over from the previous week.
In the vein of preparation, this is a staff that's brand new in Seattle, and I know you didn't play Seattle every year when you're in Minnesota, but still you saw him some.
Yeah, played him a lot.
But when you look at now Mike McDonald, who comes over as the defensive coordinator former from Baltimore, how do you study to get ready for a team like this? I know you got six games to look at.
Yeah, we got a sample size from this year, certainly, and that's good to go off of. But why not go back and look at what he did in Baltimore? I mean, they were number one in the league last year for a reason, and so you can learn from that. And then you certainly learn from this year, and you try to gather as much information as you can. It's my first time playing him as a defensive coordinator, because the 2 years he was the coordinator of the Ravens, my schedule didn't cross with his. Played him when he was an assistant, back in college when we played Georgia. So, we've crossed paths, but the other crossing of paths is that my wife went to high school with him. So, there's all kinds of paths being crossed, but it'll be a good challenge going against him. He's done a great job.
That's crazy when you had to go to wife for a little bit of scout on the DC. No, I'm playing. Tell me about this defensive group as far as what you see from a tape standpoint.
Yeah, they play hard. It's a good group. I have a lot of respect for certainly the scheme with Coach McDonald, but look at, Witherspoon, a top five pick at corner who moves in nickel and does a great job there. You look at Baker's linebacker from Miami, who I thought was a great backer there, and have a lot of respect for him. I think Love at safety does a great job. So they got players all over, and going against some of their D linemen like Jaron Reed and Jonathan Hankins many, many times, and have respect for them, what they can do. So they play hard, and it shows on tape.
Kirk, go have some fun.
All right, thanks, Arch.
All right, there you have it right there. And guess what? You can run the ball in Seattle, gentlemen. Apparently.
Let's talk dirty, Rob.
Apparently. You can run it deep.
Turns out you can actually hand the ball off in the NFL nowadays. No, man, that's what I'm excited about to see. I can't wait to see what our offensive game plan looks like and how it kind of adapts through the game. Because we came out, people don't understand. You look at the running yards last week, Rob, and I know you'll appreciate this. We came out trying to throw it. We came out trying to throw the ball.
Yeah, the first three plays. Yeah.
I think it's five of the first seven, I want to say, were throws. And you're like, dude, come on, man. Let's run this pill.
This is such a weird matchup because it's weakness versus weakness and strength versus strength. What I mean is, like, their weakness is running the football. Our weakness is run defense.
Yep.
Our weakness has been running the football. If you don't, if you haven't looked at the whole trend, their weakness is defending the run, right? Their strength is passing the football. Our strength, pass defense, and vice versa. So what we're good at, they're good at, and what we're bad at, they're bad at. It's just weird how this match up. So it's like the odd version of something's got to give.
You know what's funny? I've noticed from a breakdown standpoint is, like, obviously as we all go throughout the week, you start looking at some of the matchup situations and listening to guys. And you guys know I'm a big Warren Sharp guy. I love to see what kind of his insight fantasy wise. More and more do I start to read stuff where the Falcons and the NFL prognosticators have started leaving out the Pittsburgh game. It's like Well, since week one, or after week one, if you start counting after week one, the Falcons are this. And you guys saw me after that game, man. I was so stressed out because the alarm bells are sounding. I'm like, there's no way that after an entire offseason of playing, that was the best game plan we could come up with. And I still look at the Pittsburgh game as a lost opportunity. But, you know, look at some of the other close wins we've had. I'm like, okay, I got to throw those in there too. So
after 6 weeks, is Zach Robinson the most improved part of this team?
I was about to say, talk about his evolution.
I mean, I get to be around in certain scenarios around these guys. He's oozing confidence. Like I can look at him and see how he's carrying himself. And I got to talk to him before the season, before we even drafted this year. I had to talk to him off the record, and he feels like the feeling I get from him right now is he's more confident now than he was then. And I think he was confident then.
Let me have the commercial break to answer that question. And when we get back, I'll give you my answer. How about that?
All right. So morning,
Chip. Then, Whiskey Myers.
Mm. Yep. Oh, by the way, what day is it?
Ding.
What is today?
Fair foul, freaky Falcons Friday, Rob.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Triple N for Tifty. I'm back with you guys Thursday and Friday.
There it is.
Sounds like we're about to get in a bar fight in Yellowstone.
That's right. It's going down.
This is such
you
a
can
good
spot
tune
the
right
fake
here.
Cowboys a mile away.
Oh man!
Yeah. Well, I mean,
dude, I'm loving this Whiskey Myers on the way in and out.
Yeah, it's getting me excited for tonight.
That's gonna be a brown liquor type of evening.
I might start pregaming at 10 a.m.
There. Oh man, you pregame at 10 a.m. I won't see you tonight. you'll be listening to that concert from the bed of your truck out in the parking lot.
Like last time.
I might have heard a Brooks and Dunn concert that way one time.
I'm not throwing you over my shoulder like a toddler and carrying you out of that thing either.
Yeah, you are.
Get it together.
You might have to.
No, you'll be throwing Mike over your shoulder and carrying you out.
I'll be dragging my
toes tracked across.
I'll be dragging him. I mean, how do you think that would work?
I don't know. I don't even want to picture
my
that.
My right knee would buckle quickly.
What am I doing right now? What am I saying we do?
Huddle.
Huddle up.
Let's huddle up. I used to have a quarterback, Rob, that always did the straightest fingers you've ever seen when he'd say huddle.
Do that.
He'd go like this, and I'd go, does that not hurt?
I think
you got
to cup the hands, though, I thought.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a flavor of the
fingertip,
week kind of
fingertip.
Thing.
I
don't know. I don't know.
Let me see. I'm trying to think who that could be. That had to be, what's his name? Championship quarterback.
No.
Number three.
That.
Somebody says, hold up three fingers. A lot of people do the middle finger.
Oh, you can't do that.
Ring finger,
apparently.
Pinky finger.
Yeah, I think that one's got. That one's been outlawed. You can't do this either, because that one's
hook 'em horns for two, right? Hook 'em horns. We'll have more on that later.
Yeah, that's rock and roll.
Question of Zach
Heavy
Robinson.
Metal.
I've been pleased, Mike. What say you?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this because Bo brought this up. Because is he the most improved part of the team? Is that how you worded it?
I think okay. Something like that.
So I was thinking about it. And first of all, to answer this question, you have to kind of outlaw everybody else on offense, right? Because it all leads back to him. Like I could say Kyle Pitts, well, a lot of that has to do with Zach Robinson's usage. Or is it Tyler Allgeier who finally made his presence felt? Well, a lot of that has to do with Tyler Allgeier's usage. Is it Kirk Cousins who looked awful in week one? A lot of that has to do with Zach Robinson and what he's done with Kirk Cousins. So I think to answer your question, yes. I think there's way more branches to that tree, though.
As fans, we blame the player first. We always blame the coach, I feel like. It's
well, that's
like,
just a quarterback.
He's not being used right. Hold on. I've been told for years that the Falcons don't know how to use Kyle Pitts.
No.
I've been told for years that they don't know how to use Kyle Pitts. It's not a Kyle Pitts problem. It's a problem. And now it's a Zach Robinson problem.
Can I be honest? I think that's a positional thing. I think nobody, like, because you don't really look, it's hard to look at receivers and know if they're playing well to average people that aren't watching every rep, and they look at numbers, they look at catches, they look at yards. But like, if you to kind of go against your point, when you talk about linemen, right, it's always like he was a bust. You know what I mean? Like, you look at like first round linemen, you're like, well, that guy was a bust. You don't ever point to the offensive line coach and say, well, he couldn't develop the guy.
Or the strength coach,
right? You don't ever
point him out hard enough.
You don't ever point to like the defensive tackles and go, well, it might have been the defensive line coach. Like, no, it's just when you talk about receivers, yes, I'm agreeing. Okay. You go back to the coordinator and you're like, well, I don't know how to use them.
Grabbing at the low hanging fruit.
Because it's the easy answer.
Asked a question said, hey, would you guys trade Kyle Pitts and a third round pick for Max Crosby? And to the Raiders. And I wrote the guy back and I said, well, first off, they're not making that trade because they're not giving up just that for Max Crosby. So, and he goes, well, my thing is that Kyle Pitts could stretch the field for the Raiders. And I go, well, then why isn't he stretching the field here?
Yeah. No, I
and then I calmed down and deleted the tweet.
It has kind of, because, and I don't think that's not, I've gotten, it seems like 36 tweets like that since the beginning of the year about trading Kyle Pitts and saying, well, get him out while he still has value. Like, when you look at what they got for Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper, I'm like, what value do you really think that Kyle Pitts holds in the team, you know, in the eye of other teams? Like, there is none.
People automatically think he'd be this highly coveted thing.
Right.
No, draft slots
have nothing to do in year four. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter that he was a fourth
overall.
Depends
on your production in those 4 years.
Yeah, 100%.
It only matters if when he becomes a free agent and he seemingly lost his way with that team, that he'll get a second chance. First round and second round guys, actually even third, they get second chances quicker
a lot of those
than
guys,
later in the draft.
Especially at quarterback.
Yes, but this isn't a second chance moment.
Well, and my thing is, to your point, and I'll finish on this, you might as well, you want to buy low on Kyle Pitts, you might as well keep him here, right, if that's what your thought is. You might as well buy low the fact that he can kind of integrate himself into Zach's offense.
You know what I love what's happened to the NFL? It's become like the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Remember, the trade deadline in the NFL greeted with a chorus of yawns for the most part.
Yes, dude. There was, I think, the 5 years I was with the Falcons, I think there was two trades. I think we made two trades, maybe three.
I've got a theory on that. I just think it's basically that we don't give guys time anymore, like coaches and GMs. If you don't win immediately, you're out. So I think there's more.
You see
more,
that all across sports. Like when John Smoltz says, in today's age, they would have cast me aside a long time ago.
100% right. I just think the urgency to win or to you know, even make the playoffs or whatever is so much more now than it used to be. Used to be you would get 3, 4, 5 years to change your roster over, build up your team, bring in your own guys. You don't get that anymore. If Raheem Morris doesn't have a playoff run in the first 2 years, there's a chance he's not here a third year. And I don't want that, but I'm just telling you, I think that's a reality.
I don't think I have a problem with it as much as y'all might. To me, a lot of times when you have first-year coaches and or first-year quarterbacks or both, I think you can tell. I think you can kind of tell when it's working. Like, Jaden Daniels, a prime example. C.J. Stroud, prime example. On the other side, Frank Reich and Bryce Young, that was not working. Nope. Like, and so it's like, you might as well rip the Band-Aid off. And I know that David Tepper catches a lot of hell for it, but I still think it was the right decision over
Carolina. Well, the wrong decision It's not the right decision because you made the wrong decision in the first place. You made the wrong decision by bringing in a coach and then telling him who he had to draft as the quarterback. That is where it all went wrong to begin with for them.
That's probably fair, too.
But I don't disagree with that needed to go.
Sunday, Falcons, Seahawks, first four-game winning streak since 2019, perhaps, maybe, could be. I'm just saying, just run the damn ball, man. Have a sexy day. Please, Mike, and run the damn ball.
Mm. You have such an opportunity Sunday because you can win your fifth game of the year. You can win another conference game. The Saints are now 2-5 after last night. Tampa Bay has a tough Monday night game against Baltimore, who seemingly found their way, and they're going to test that run defense of Tampa. And they're honestly going to test that defense in every way. And then you turn around and you go play Tampa the next week.
Hopefully they'll be softened up after that Monday night game.
Yeah.
Hopefully be a battered and bruised Tampa Bay.
I'm getting way ahead of myself. But think about this. You win your next two games, and Tampa stumbles the next two games, you could have a two-game lead with the complete tiebreaker over the best team not named you in the division.
Can I tell you the one thing, though, as we head towards this weekend, obviously talking a lot about Seahawks-Falcons. The one thing that's not even really X's and O's related that scares me about this weekend is the extra rest days for them. When you look historically at NFL games where the team has had a significant advantage in rest,
but
it doesn't always fare
well.
Though. They are, but
they're arrested, banged up.
Yeah,
arrested,
I mean, they're up. Like that's the thing is like you have banged up. Okay, you have to play. Let's just say you had to play a different offensive lineman, which they do. Yep. You got three extra days to get him in the playbook, to get him integrated. Yep. It's not the same as like a short week Saints team that we saw last night that's having to plug and play guys. Like that's shorthanded. Those are rest days. Those are big when you talk about the NFL.
Mike. What day is it?
and welcome to the steakhouse. No, welcome to Fair Foul Friday. That's coming up next, man. You know what time it is. Rob Tribble in the house for Fair Foul Friday. Don't want to miss it. It's coming up next. Mic'd up. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
You know what happens when you hear that music. Shout out to John Foy. Shout out to Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. This hour is brought to you by those fine folks. And also catch me at Dudley's tomorrow, Lithonia, from 5 to 7. I'll be there for the Alabama-Tennessee game, be pre-gaming for the Georgia-Texas game. So no matter who you're looking forward to watching, show up and let's talk some shop to Dos Equis tailgate party at Dudley's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun event for you. You can come see me at Whiskey Myers tonight. You can buy me a beer or a vodka.
Matter of fact,
vodka
don't
grand.
Come see me.
Yeah, don't come see Mike, but you can come bring me a drink.
No thanks. I'm all right.
I'll take it.
I don't want anybody seeing the condition I'll be in.
Just don't put anything like, you
plan
know,
on partying pretty good.
Don't drop a hit of acid in or anything. I'm not trying to do all that at all.
All right, man, it's Fair Foul Friday. You guys know the drill. I throw it out there. You tell me if it's fair.
Foul.
You tell me if it's foul. No
foul.
Fines today, Rob. Rob, the innovator of the fine, walking down the middle. All right, hey, no fines today. All right, just straight up fair foul. All right, how about this one? We'll start off with that Georgia Texas game since we were just talking about it. And, the Dudley's build up tomorrow.
Can I ask you a fair or foul real quick?
Go ahead.
Fair or foul? Texas A&M going to Starkville?
Like why? No, you can't ask me a fair or foul before my fair foul.
Hold on. Being
how do you know that's not one of mine?
Being favored by 15.5.
Stop. Shut up. Let's go.
Is that foul?
All right. How about this one? This win would be bigger for Texas and Steve Sarkisian than the win against Bama last year in Tuscaloosa. If they beat Georgia tomorrow night, it will actually be a bigger win for that program than going into Tuscaloosa and beating Bama last year. Fair or foul, Rob?
I'm going to say foul. This can be their first real test. I know they went up to number 10. Michigan's not what they were last year. And everything else, you know, not quite. Not quite.
All right. Bo, fair or foul, this win would be bigger for Texas and Steve Sarkisian than the Bama win last year in Tuscaloosa, which is known as kind of a marquee for them.
I think it's fair because I think it's in the SEC, and I think going against Georgia's program is now the measuring stick, all right, in the SEC. There's no Nick Saban. Even that team last year, I don't think that was quite the measure. I think this is a you have arrived moment for Steve Sarkisian because it would be the point your first signature win in the SEC.
All right.
I still think if they win tomorrow, there's a loss in there, an unexpected loss.
That's fine, though. That's fine. You beat the IT program in the conference, to me. That's what would happen if you beat Georgia.
Well, right. No national championship's been won the third week of October. So.
Yeah. Well,
it's true. But it's
a lot of cigars smoked on the Tennessee-Bama rivalry. All right, let's get back into it. How about this? Let's go to the Falcons-Seahawks. Jesse Bates is the most important player on the field for either team. The most important player on the field for either team on Sunday will be Jesse Bates. He will tell you who wins this matchup. Jesse Bates will tell you who wins this matchup. Bo, we'll start with you. Fair or foul?
I think it's foul. I think the most important player every week is the quarterback. And
which one?
Well?
The winning one.
The one that plays better, yeah. I think Kirk Cousins is the most important person on the field for the Falcons, and I think it's the little things that he does, like the fact that on a run play, was it 3rd and 1, he takes Drake London and squeezes him down close onto the tackle, or maybe it was a tight end there, and because of the way the defense was playing, and that allowed them to spring the run to get the 2 to 3 yards they needed to move the ball.
All right, what do you think?
I'm going to say foul because I believe football is a team sport. Depends on how your 22 players play with the
well, that was a coward's
there
answer.
There is no.
That's
that was
a coward's
fine.
Answer.
He gave me the fine.
I'm willing to
warned
die,
him.
Coward.
All right.
Hey, why didn't you just say fine?
Hey, let's flip to Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports had this morning and after the game, actually last night. Alvin Kamara should be traded. So fair or foul, Alvin Kamara ends this season as part of the New Orleans Saints. Fair or foul, ooh. Alvin Kamara ends this season as part of the New Orleans Saints. Bo, we'll start with you.
Fair, I think he's a Saint. I don't think they're trading him. I just don't think that's Mickey Loomis's way. I think they're going to try to find a way to keep him there for as long as they can.
Yeah.
He's a staple for that team. Look, they might be unhealthy this year, but they are going to think about next year, you know.
Yeah.
And Mickey Loomis will do what he does every year. He'll somehow circumvent the cap and sign everybody under the sun.
Yeah, what do you think, Ryan?
I'll say foul. He's looked as good as he has in 3 years.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah. It is blowing my mind that, you know, Bama signed Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry at the same time at one point. That just makes you crazy.
Embarrassment of riches.
It's nuts. All right, how about this one? Fair or foul? All right, and I'm going to go see if I can pull this up real quick. Fair or foul, Texas A&M will play in the SEC championship this year. Fair or foul, Texas A&M, who is leading the SEC right now, will play in the SEC championship this year. So starting with this weekend, they got Mississippi State, and then they got number 8 LSU, South Carolina, New Mexico State, Auburn, and then finish the year with Texas. Texas A&M will actually play in the SEC championship game this year. Fair or foul?
I'll say foul. It's going to be Texas, Alabama.
Ooh, wow. That came out of nowhere. All right. Bo, I'm going to guess you don't agree with him on that.
I think it's fair. I think A&M's got a great chance. I think they could play in the SEC championship game. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I'd be happy for Mike.
Because guess what? Georgia.
Even if they lose, the Texas is still in a good spot.
Yeah. Because they haven't lost in the SEC.
No.
Alabama and Tennessee have both lost in the SEC, so they're about to have their second SEC loss. Georgia could have their second SEC loss. Hell yeah, sign me up for capital F-A-I-R.
Yeah, he wants the chaos. Bring
on
the chaos.
I want all the smoke.
All right, me and Bo headed to Whiskey Myers tonight, man. Been playing it all day. Love it. Can't wait. Rob mentioned Porch Fest that's going on this weekend. So how about this one? Fair or foul, Friday night concert is better than a Saturday music fest. Fair or foul, a Friday night concert is better than a Saturday music fest.
Foul. I love music festivals. This isn't necessarily a festival, but
right,
it's
no.
The gravity magnitude of this party is amazing.
It is. I got to give you that for sure. And I've never been, but I've seen videos. Bo, what do you think? Fair or foul, Friday concert better than Saturday music festival?
In the fall, that's fair. In general, it's foul.
Really?
Yeah, I like.
Didn't strike you as a music festival
I like
guy.
A music. Oh, I love some good music. I mean, I've went to Ozfest quite a few times. Warp Tour. You know, Country Fair when they used to have that.
Right.
Yeah, sign me up.
For multiple. How about this one? We'll go back to the bins for Sunday. More rushing yards than passing yards for the Falcons this weekend. More rushing yards than passing yards for the Falcons on Sunday. Fair or foul?
I think it's foul. How often do we ever see an NFL team run for more than they throw unless yeah. Arthur Smith is the OC?
Right. What do you think?
I think it's foul. You're going to pass for more yards. It's going to be 250 yards passing, 137 yards rushing.
Okay.
Oh, I think you're wrong on the rushing.
Just wishful thinking.
I think they'll have 147 at least.
Wishful thinking for me.
This team's giving up 145 on average. I mean, come on.
All right, I want to make sure I read this quote. I'm going to read it off my computer, and this is about Byron Murphy. All right, this is Byron Murphy. He's been out for a couple of weeks for Seattle's defensive line. His quote kind of struck me. That's what I do. I'm a force in the run game. Also the pass, too. But me being there in the run game, I'm going to help out a lot. I did hear that Atlanta was supposed to draft me. I heard rumors about that, but they passed up. So that's their fault. That's a big loss for them. They will feel me on Sunday. All right? Byron Murphy, the rookie out of Texas, is too confident. Too confident. Is that fair or foul? Too confident.
No, that's foul. I mean, what do athletes do? They look for any slight to motivate them.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Anything to flip that switch. So good for him. I got no problem with
it. You got no problem with it. What do you think, Bo? He's too confident.
Delusional,
fair
but,
foul.
You know.
Well, I think it's fair. He's pretty confident for a guy that was limited in practice yesterday with a hamstring injury. Also, the dumbest thing on earth is that Mike Florio thinks this is a story.
Well, evidently more people than Mike Florio do, because this is a headline. It's a headline on ESPN as well. So that's kind of where this quote comes from.
Yeah, it's dumb. This whole story is stupid. It doesn't make
Atlanta taking shots.
I don't remember him being on anyone's mock draft coming here. Now, I would have liked to have had Byron Murphy. I'm not going to lie. I think he's a good player. I think
he would have been
a good player.
In that spot, to be honest with you, he would have been a reach in that
spot.
Well,
he doesn't think so, but who cares?
Not even on my radar. I knew who he was. He was not even on my radar.
Hey, big dog, get healthy and play. Actually, play on Sunday. And then talk trash after you maybe do something and play.
All right, so here I got two more really quick. A loss for Tennessee this weekend is worse than a loss for Bama. Third Saturday in October, Bama versus Tennessee. A loss for Tennessee this weekend is worse than a loss for Bama. Fair or foul? But we'll start with you.
I think it's foul. Because I think Kalen DeBoer needs – you can't lose to Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the same season.
Yeah, that's probably pretty fair. All right. I guess the standpoint, Rob, that I'm looking at, they had a lot of people talking about Nico Iamaleava. Yeah. It's fourth year for Josh Heupel. Nick Saban's no longer at Bama. What do you think? Fair or foul?
I'll still say foul because Nico's a freshman.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a
growing pains, obviously.
All right, we'll finish here. South Carolina versus Oklahoma this weekend will be the most out-of-conference feeling conference game of the year. South Carolina versus Oklahoma.
Big fair.
It'll be the most out-of-conference feeling conference game of the season. Bo's wheels are spinning. He's going, no, it's going to be Vanderbilt. And who is it, Bo?
Talking about just for the SEC?
Yeah, just period. Oh, most out-of-conference feeling conference game of the year.
Nothing felt very conference-like about Miami playing Cal on a Saturday night.
Is USC at Maryland, I think, this weekend? Like, the college football.
Well,
Trump,
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you completely. When I found out that Penn State went to USC, or when UCLA went to Penn State, both those
Ohio
games.
Ohio State at Oregon?
I go, man, that's a weird out-of-conference game.
There was one game, I can't remember who it was, and I know we got to get a break. There was one game played that maybe it was Kansas State or somebody that was an out-of-conference game, and the two teams are in the conference. Like, they had already had it scheduled, and they didn't match up in the conference schedule, and they were like, we'll just keep the game on the schedule. We'll just be an out-of-conference
game. That's the weird thing to me is that when Oklahoma and in Texas announced they were going to join the SEC, Sankey was like, "You got to Oklahoma and Georgia can't play each other before."
Right,
and I'm just thinking, I don't – this is a great song, by the way.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
I was just like, but why? Why not be a great preview for the conference?
Why
but
would
you
that
know
throw Western civilization on
I don't know. Greg Sankey, let me tell you something. I will give Greg Sankey credit. He might be a smidgen smarter than me when it comes to conference alignment and scheduling. Just a smidgen, but I don't – there's no way he knows fast food better than me.
I still think Iowa State going to Morgantown last week. It's not a conference game, but that was weird. And speaking of Iowa State –
it was a conference game.
Oh, that's right, it was.
Yeah. Did see, West – hold on, can I? Did you,
that was a conference game.
So you watched weird. That game, right?
I peeked at it, yeah.
All right. Did it not look like West Virginia, the state, had an antenna on the top of the state in the helmet?
On their helmet, yeah. It looked like a mixture of a turd and a space alien with an antenna. That's what I was thinking. But anyway, well, you asked.
It also looked like an upside-down Tennessee.
Well, you want to get rid of that turd, contact Zero Res, a smart lasting clean. They will cleanse everything.
That's right.
Everything, they will cleanse it. Hey, we got picks coming up. Elwin, we got David Archer. Speaking of Iowa State, Dave Archer going to be joining us at 8:20 as well. Life is good. Then we'll hand it off to the steakhouse and get ready for a fantastic, beautiful weekend. It's Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 The Game.